There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
I'm drinking a ball of Hennessy you got on your shelf. So just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, there we go. So, of course, that's the way we got to start it on Midday Mobile on this Friday. Yeah, yeah, children of the 80s, yeah, you're with this story, right? This is even made the national news. Shock G of the digital underground, or as we, the Humpty Hump guy, the guy with the nose, passed away at age 57. So TMZ reporting Digital Underground's Humpty Dance. Shock G, famous for the song Humpty Dance and his work with Tupac Shakur, is dead. Rap legend found dead yesterday in a hotel room in Tampa. He did not get busy. They said the cause of death is unclear. There are no signs of trauma. Shock's father says authorities will conduct an autopsy. So there you go. And of course, the discussion's already popped up on social media about the nose. Remember, of course, the nose, the Groucho Marx nose. And when we were kids, it was all the story that he had lost his nose in like some kind of fire or something like that, and that's why he had to wear it. But he didn't. You see, he had a nose. He just happened to wear the Groucho Marx glasses with the nose, and it was his look. Maybe if we could get more of that in the rap scene now, Dalton. I mean, if we could get more of some of the mumble rappers that are out there and that to go with, find some kind of prop like Groucho Marx glasses with a nose. It just bringing it back, right? You talk about old school, they could bring it back with that. But yes, that's how we get started with Midday Mobile. All right, lots to do on today's program. And I want to point out, too, if you have not gone, this is a warning, a word to the wise. If you've not gone onto the Facebook page and entered your photograph for the Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast Picture of the Week, if you've not done that, you're missing out, because you put your picture up, you go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, you put your picture up there and get your friends and family to give you the most number of likes you can get possibly. And if you get the most number of likes, you win the big poster sign that says I'm a winner. And on the back has the planting chart from Bill Finch. It's on the Facebook page. Check it out, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, and get those pictures up. Could be the tomatoes. I'm going to put some tomato pics up today. Some tomato pictures. It could just be your garden, your yard, cool tree, pretty flowers, whatever in the yard. Put those pictures up and win on Sunday with Bill Finch. All right. Also, we'll be running this in the on the sidebar here on Midday Mobile. National Book Day. National Book Day today. And favorite books. Favorite books. We'll trade this around. We do this a lot on the show. I'd say we're probably one of the more book-focused or talking about books-focused shows out there, and we'll continue that for sure on National Book Day. So pop up your suggestions on the text line at 343-0106, and we'll talk about them later in the hour. All right, and leadoff batter on Midday Mobile. Last on the charts, but number one in your hearts. Let's see if I got that right. District 105 Representative Chip Brown joining us now. That's kind of, it goes like that somehow, right?
Yeah, something like that. We're 105 districts starting up in the northwest corner of the state and goes all the way down to 105, and I'm the most southern district in the state.
Well, it is the best district in the state.
That's right. First in your heart.
That's right. A lot to talk about here as we got a very few days left in session. We've got session days and calendar days. What's it looking like right now? Y'all go back next week, right?
Yeah, we go back next week, Tuesday, and then have a committee days on Wednesday, and then back in session on Thursday. And Tuesday we'll take up the Education Trust Fund budget. And we already in the House, we took up the general fund. They alternate. You know, mm-hmm. 1 year the general fund starts in the House and the Education Trust Fund starts in the Senate, and then the next year they reverse them and they do them that way. And so we had the general fund this year, and we pushed that out early, and it's up in the Senate. And then we have now the Education Trust Fund is back down, and we'll deal with that on Tuesday. Hey, so we've got a big haul this coming week. It's kind of all coming to a head.
Yeah, well, the things that won't be in special session, and I want to get to that in a second, but I had this as a later question for you, but since you're talking about the ETF and talking about education, that House Bill 487, the bill that would give charter schools, you know, the amount of money that's, how do you word it, what was dedicated per student would, be able to have more money follow that student from a public school to a state-run charter school, right? And it was a move to have more money for those charter schools. That was blocked, and it looks like what the vote was 60-36. So what happened there? How did you vote? How did, obviously, other Republicans voted against this?
Well, I voted no on it, and I'm not against the concept of charter schools. I'm definitely a school choice fan. There's several issues I have currently with that. One, my district, we have no private schools, no charter schools. There's some good charter schools in Mobile, but I represent South Mobile County. And so, you know, we often have the feeling there that our money goes disproportionately to support schools in the city versus schools in the southern part of the county. And so, you know, I just listened to my voters and listened to the people in my district, and that was overwhelmingly against that. I think one of the problems that people had in other areas related to some of the charter schools that have been run in the past, and some of them been quite controversial in different areas. Washington County had one that was very controversial, and so I think it came down to that, Sean, to be honest with you. The controversy surrounding some of the current charter schools, not necessarily in Mobile, but in other areas. And then also, you know, you get out in the rural areas, and it's just a different story than in the cities.
But nobody's forcing somebody to go to a charter school, right? I mean, you're not compelled to.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's just a... You know, it doesn't match, let's say that, with certain areas of the state. So it just really came down to that. It had nothing to do with the sponsor or, you know, any other issue. It just was a lot of people listened to their school superintendents and their principals and the people back in their districts, and that's what it came down to. It wasn't as much a philosophical argument as it was a listening to their district's argument.
Let's talk for a second, Congressman, about schools in Alabama. And the story out this week, I think it came out like it does every year or has for several years, Alabama's kindergarten program, how great it is, right? And it's a great thing, and it's a feather in the cap for the state of Alabama. How can we have the best kindergarten program out there that everybody's all fired up about, even nationally, and then we finish at the bottom of the list when it's, science and mathematics are close to it, not always the bottom, but I mean, we're within five of the bottom on most of those. So where are we having a disconnect here?
Well, I don't know, Sean, to be honest with you. I mean, that is a, that is a problem. And, we more or less lost a year with COVID. I mean, test scores are showing that, and virtual learning is good. There's a place always for virtual learning, but I think kids need to be in the classroom. They need to learn from the classroom. We have a shortage. You brought up science and technology, STEM, and we actually passed the bill in the House to give incentives to first year to teachers to, you know, entice them to go into teaching STEM and science and math, and because there is a shortage of that in Alabama and nationally. People just people are not going into teaching. I mean, it's a field that years ago it was easy to bring good quality teachers in, and now it's harder and harder every year to do that. And so, you know, we've got to attract talent. We've got to bring in talent to teach in our classrooms. We have good teachers, and it's just making sure that we maintain them, we keep them, and we bring, you know, get people interested, particularly in science and math, to come in and teach.
The discussion often is one, and we're talking about ETF too, and the money that is designated for education in the state. So, you know, if you look at per school or per pupil, if we're not getting the ROI, you know, the dollars spent here, and what is it in the facilities, in the student, and we talk about there are lots of great teachers in the state. I agree, but something's amiss, right? I mean, we're not getting what we're investing in. I mean, everybody's going to say we'll give more, but when is that number going to start returning some better scores here? I mean, where are we? How can you recruit those best teachers? And if you do, will they have a significant impact on the scores?
Well, you know, one thing that I would like to see is to ditch Common Core and go towards the Common Core that we have, the curriculum that we have in Alabama was developed, and they'll say, you know, it was developed with people in Alabama, but it's the truth of the matter is we're really following a curriculum that was set forth by national organizations, and we need to develop curriculum in Alabama that fits in Alabama, you know. And we need a curriculum that emphasizes STEM, that emphasizes these programs, and get to them early, you know. Allow kids when they're in elementary school to really focus on not just STEM, but also the basics. I mean, reading, writing, and doing math correctly. I don't know if you've ever looked at Common Core math. To me, it makes no sense.
I have two children. I mean, trust me. I have two children.
Yeah. I mean, there's no point in that. I mean, we need to get back to that, and we need to focus on really the roots of education and the basics of education, and do away with a lot of the PC junk that we push down our kids' throats. I mean, and if we push, get into just doing basics in education, but also pushing STEM, we're preparing our kids for a better future than leaving them out there twisted in the wind with experimental theories.
What is the real world of that? If we break away from, I remember like with Head Start and programs after that, that if we don't do this, we risk losing federal funding, right? Is that a fear here that, you know, and how much per pupil is the federal part of this?
Well, you know, I'll just tell you, the feds threaten anytime you do anything against that you perceive to be going against the federal government, they threaten your funding. So, but you know, there has always been a concern on if you did away with Common Core with certifications, let's say, about having teacher certifications. But you know, the other states have done that and have done it successfully. Not every state adopted Common Core, so there's definitely ways around that. I mean, you know, the feds threaten that constantly on every, particularly in states like Alabama that are more conservative. But we can do it. We can do it if we really make up our mind and we want to break away from Common Core. We can do it.
All right, coming right back, more with Representative Chip Brown, District 105, our guest this hour right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have y'all along. good to talk to District 105 Representative Chip Brown. Before, and I know there's a bunch of other subjects on our list here to get through, but Adam in Mobile says, I think the disconnect between the teachers and students is the curriculum. Especially in this region, you have conservative ideals and beliefs, but they're forced to teach liberal curriculum and standardized tests that don't translate to every individual. After kindergarten, all kids are forced to be tested by the same standards. The system rewards the hare and punishes the tortoise in learning in higher education. Any response to that?
No, I agree. I mean, I think that if you talk to teachers, there's so much emphasis put on testing versus actually, you know, classroom time. And, you know, a lot of that is set to meet national standards. And that's that carrot that the federal government hangs out there is the, you know, test scores, depending on your test scores or what you get. And so I agree with him. I mean, we've got to look at that. We've got to have a homegrown curriculum that, because what the thing is, what they want to do is put a curriculum that is right for, let's say, the whole United States. But what works for Portland, Oregon, is not right for Mobile, Alabama. What's right for Chicago may not be right for Montgomery. I mean, it's just we're all it's a unique country, and we're all have different strengths and different beliefs, and I think it needs to reflect the culture of where you live versus you know, trying to do one size fits all. That doesn't work, and we're I think we're seeing that right now.
One of the issues here too that I've thought about is when you standardize this, you don't have a chance for experimentation. I know that that's tough because I'm a dad, y'all. Before all the parents get mad, I'm not experimenting with my kids. But, you know, if you have other states doing different things, if you don't have such a federal handle on it, then states may stumble into really good ideas or good ways to teach. And then I'd be more than happy to poach those ideas off another state. But if everybody's doing the same thing, you don't get that laboratory.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I mean, you know, in that... That's kind of like, you know, legislation. I mean, you can look at what a state has done and on any particular issue and look at it and see which ones have done things successfully and which ones haven't. And you can take those ideas and kind of cherry pick what works and what doesn't. And but what if you standard that across the board, then you lose all that creativity and you lose that ideas and originality. And I think that's part of successful teaching. You go back and you look years ago where teachers had more control in the classroom and they weren't so handcuffed by the federal government in particular, that you know, kids learned the basics. They learned reading, writing, and arithmetic, and we've got to allow the state to have more control of our curriculum and in turn teachers in our classroom.
And speaking of that, so this texture says teachers can't discipline the children and can't control the classrooms is the problem.
Well, I think that part of that is true, too. I mean, you know, the era that that you and I grew up in, Sean, I mean, you got in trouble, you risked running the enforcer, the paddle at the principal's mm-hmm. office, you know, and harm wasn't done. To me, when done, I don't know if you ever got walloped in the rear.
The Board of Education? The Board of Education? Yeah. Familiar with the Board of Education, yes.
The enforcer had the holes drilled in it. And that, you know, that discipline, that respect, that's something that I think we're lacking in today's society. We see it on the news.
But is that the job of that? I follow that, but is that, I agree with keeping a disciplined classroom and things, but... Is that the job? This is me saying, but is that the job of government, or is that, you know, the thing? And it's cliche to say, but it's true. I was way more fearful of dad, you know, and mom to some degree. But really, you know, when right. Dad came home after 12 hours of work, I was really worried about that. You know, when I goofed off at school, not that I ever did, but if I would have, you know, and so that, I mean, handing that over, I mean, but people say, well, the parents aren't going to discipline their children, so the school has to. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer there is, but I agree. Well, if you don't have discipline, you don't, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think you know, that begins in the household and should be in the household as far as learning respect and learning learning, you know, how to be a productive human being and how to care for other people, how to have empathy for people. But I think in the classroom too, you know, there has to be some measure of punishment if you don't follow the rules.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
You don't show respect. You don't, you know.
Up against a hard break here. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, the segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Okay. I mean, I could come to your house and identify the junk, but I think you could do that privately, right? You know what you need to get rid of. It could be at your house. Could be think about a storage unit. If you got a bunch of stuff in storage that you just pay on every month, for what? Like, you know, you got stuff in a shop, maybe outside your house. I mean, not only will they go, my buddy Trey and the crew will go, like, empty out backyard sheds. They've actually been asked to take the whole shed before, too. They can do that. Above-ground pool, a swing set, a trampoline, whatever, big stuff like that. You can't move it. They can handle that as well. And the nice thing is, too, once you identify the junk, the process of making that appointment, it's really easy. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're going to find a day that works for you, right? Because they get it. None of this, they'll be there sometime Monday, 8 a.m. through Friday, 9 p.m. No, they'll find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you. They set an appointment. They show up. They quote you a price on the job. You say yes, they get to work and get it done. So wherever that would be, could be at your house, could be at work, could be wherever. You got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So it's online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or if you want to pick up that Sports Illustrated football phone and make the call, you can do it as well at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, continue our conversation with District 105 Rep. Chip Brown. And there's a whole bunch of text here on this on the education side of this, and maybe we'll just have to next week or the week after that kind of dig into the education side more. But
sure,
this is all stemming off of a discussion of the bill that you voted no on, but there's still a lot more. And the ETF coming up this week, right? And which, by the way, right, listen to this. Here's a pivot. Here's a segue. The ETF could have funding from lottery if it gets passed, right?
Sure.
See, definitely. See what I did there? So I got you into lottery discussion. So now it has a sponsor. Lottery bill has a sponsor in the House. Chris Blackshear, the sponsor. So what do you think about the bill as it stands now? Is it something you vote yes on?
Well, it's in committee this week. There's more than one bill. There's House Bill 309, there's House Bill 319, and there's House Bill 311.
Is that like 214, 215?
309.
Are they the same, like in the Senate, it's like 215 or 214, 215, 26? It's like the different part. Are they analogous, those three?
Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, I think it's 311, that's in state government committee, and that deals with the actual enforcement side of things.
Okay.
The
gaming
so that
commission.
Deals with the enforcement side of gaming, you know, the actual criminal codes and that sort of thing. And then 309 and 319, one is 319 is the constitutional amendment. So that's actually what would be on the ballot. And then 309 is the actual law, the actual meat of the whole thing. And it has a lottery in there. It also has casino gaming. And right now it has one facility in Mobile at the dog track, and then a facility in Greene County and a facility in Lowndes County, which they already have bingo halls right now in those counties and have for years. And then a facility at Country Crossings in Dothan, which is same thing, a bingo hall that's operating right now. That would have a casino, and then one at Victory Land right outside Montgomery in Bullock County, in Macon County, I'm sorry. And then one at Jefferson County Racetrack, which is a Greyhound track, just similar to Mobile's. And then a new facility to be built somewhere around Jackson or DeKalb County, and then it calls for the governor to enter into a compact with Poarch Creek Indians on the facility in Atmore and the facility in Wetumpka.
Right. So,
and then it has a lottery also. And the lottery in there would have Powerball, Mega Millions, scratch offs, and you know whatever games that we saw fit to pick four or whatever the other games are.
But I mean, this is proof, though, once again, that we're not going to be able to see these separated. There's not will in the legislature, is there, to have a separate lottery, have a separate casino, and have a separate sports betting bill.
Oh, it has sports betting as well. Thank you, Sean. I wish we did. I wish there was a separate bill. I think that there's a lot of desire to have a separate bill, but
obviously not enough.
We had a separate lottery bill 2 years ago, and it passed the Senate and failed in the House.
But come on, man, so, it would pass both bodies right now. A straight lotto bill, maybe. I guess it might not with the Democrats in the House, right? That's because they wouldn't.
Yeah, I think a straight lottery bill probably would pass.
Okay. So it would pass, but it's not coming up.
2 years ago, when it failed 2 years ago, it missed by a couple of votes. It was close.
So with that, I mean, you're saying it as an elected official. I'm a guy that studies this from the outside. We're both saying that would pass, but that's not going to happen. We're not going to get a chance on that. And this is nothing even against casino gambling or sports betting. I just want to point out that they have to be, even though the people would pass lottery separately, it stays welded to these other two to pull them across the finish line.
Probably you're probably right, Sean. I mean, I'm not going to dispute you on that. You more or less have in the legislature, you have people that want casinos, and you have people that want lottery, and then you have some that want both, and then you have the overwhelming feeling is, that we haven't voted on. I think the last time we voted on gaming in Alabama was 1999, mm-hmm. when Don Siegelman was governor. And so I think there is a desire to just give people the opportunity to vote it.
Is that because the way I look at this, Congressman, is that the voters almost aren't even a function anymore because the polling, either official polling or just, let's walk in and talk to people at the line at the grocery store. People want the lottery. They want gambling. They want to vote on gaming. So they're almost an afterthought. And it seems like the interest now is what the special interests want or don't want. And it even though there's these tweaks and it's going to be, last week I was, the Senate bill, they said, look at all the more competition here. Those of you that were complaining about competition, it's still not free market to get in. I mean, it is a monopoly or a duopoly here and, something that should be regulated as a utility, not a open marketplace. It's not free market for how these licenses will be obtained.
Well, it's free market in the sense that you actually have a bidding process.
Once somebody gets it, then the two entities can step in and overbid them by a buck and take it, right?
Yeah, they do get the last. Yeah. I mean, they own the facilities, so they get the last bid. It's not free. It's not true free markets. I do like a free market approach. The one thing that it does do is it puts more money into what the cost of obtaining the license. So, that is one good thing. It's not a true free market approach to it now.
What do your constituents say? I mean, are they calling you and say, hey, we want to have something to vote on. We want a CA to vote on. Or what do they say to you?
It's pretty much overwhelmingly wanting the opportunity to at least have the opportunity to vote. That's kind of what I hear more or less from most districts, from people, from representatives in most districts, is that people want the opportunity to vote. And, let's see how it goes. I think this bill is definitely a bill. This bill is definitely better than the original version that they had that Senator Marsh had back at the beginning of the session. I mean, we're still, whatever comes out is going to look different than what it does now. That's just the way it works. As far as tightening up, there's got to be some tightening for sure on some of the issues with little technical issues with the enforcement and that sort of thing. So we'll see. It's going to, Wednesday's going to be an interesting day. They're all up in committees, and we'll see how that goes.
Shifting here to another item that's driving a lot of news right now, of course, that is the transgender regulations for medical and sports decisions for transgender youth. Talk about that from a legislator's perspective. Where do we stand now? And pressure being, I know pressure is being put on the governor. Are y'all hearing things in the House?
Well, I you know, the bill that passed, it was Representative Scott Stadthagen had a bill that passed the House. I was a co-sponsor on it that, and then it passed the Senate that says that you have to, the Alabama High School Athletic Association has to enforce the rule that whatever sex you were born into on your birth certificate, whatever it says on your birth certificate, that's the gender sport you have to play. And that passed, and it's sitting waiting on the governor's signature. I know she's under a lot of pressure from the NCAA. You know, they threatened to not bring any tournaments to Alabama if you pass the legislation. But here's the thing about that bill, Sean. Okay, the Democrats in particular, they say they're for women's rights, but they are, how can you be for women's rights when you're allowing people that were born biologically male, and it's disproportionately, the issue is on girls' sports versus, you know, men's sports. But if you have someone that was born a biological male and they're competing in girls' sports at the high school level in particular, they're you're going to snuff out the dreams and opportunities of the girls. These are our daughters. These are the children of our state. That they have hopes and aspirations. They want a fair playing field to go play volleyball, to play tennis, to play golf, to play whatever sport, basketball. And who is being impacted and hurt in this whole thing, and it's being overlooked. And that it blows my mind that the Democrat Party says they're the party of equal opportunity and they're the party for women's rights, but yet they're stepping all over the young girls of this country that want to play athletics. And, you know, there's only one thing to do on this, and that's for the governor to sign this legislation and allow the young girls of our state to have an opportunity to play their sports the way that they know how, and to play against fair competition, and that's other biological females. Now, the other bill dealing with transgenderism is the bill that Wes Allen had this bill in the House, and I was a co-sponsor to it, but he unfortunately, when it came up in the House, he had COVID, so he wasn't able to carry it. But Senator Shay Shelnut has one in the Senate that passed the Senate, and now it's in the House and moving into the position. And what that does is it says that anyone under 18, it's illegal to give hormone treatments to for transitioning into another sex. And it's, you know, there's exceptions for certain situations, but, you know, I had calls on this from people that had children that were 7 and younger that were saying, you know, my daughter or my son, you know, wants to become a man or become a female. I mean, children, they're figuring that stuff out. You don't, when you're 7 years old, when you're 15 years old, I mean, that's a decision that you make when you're an adult. And if you want to make that as an adult, then more power to you. It's a free country. That's great. I hope I wish everyone happiness. But as a child, that's a decision that I think it borders on child abuse, to be honest with you. And we need to protect our children. I mean, I just think it's wrong. So hopefully we'll get an opportunity this week or the next week to vote on that.
You know, you talk about the threats from the NCAA. We've heard this before. I mean, we watch this cancel culture going on out there. Cancel culture only works when a company capitulates, right? To something right. like that. So we've heard it in the past with the Alabama's abortion law, and it was going to change, you know, we're going to be a wasteland. There'd be no tourism here. These businesses wouldn't come. That hadn't come to fruition. I wonder how much of this is bark versus bite, or how much is smoke versus fire from these people saying, ah, you do this, you're going to really take it, you know, and then you go a couple months later and they really didn't follow through.
Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, you got to have the first person to make that stand, you know, to go out there on mm-hmm. a limb, and what do we sacrifice our the hopes and dreams of our children of this state, our daughters, for the opportunity for the NCAA to come in and hold a baseball tournament here?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to rule in favor of our daughters, our children. And hopefully the governor feels the same way. I really hope so. I think people should be watching that.
For sure. As always, we appreciate our time with you. There's so much more to talk about, but we're going to have to go to that next week and see what happens. And then, of course, I imagine we'll have plenty of special session talk to have, you know, in the next couple months, too. Am I off base on that, or do you think that's coming?
I think there's a possibility. You know, you've seen the prison situation mm-hmm. kind of collapse
yep.
on the prison plan, so I think there's a good possibility we might be back looking at bond issues to deal with our corrections problems.
All right. We'll be talking about that on future shows. Representative, thank you for your time. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Sean. You'll have a great weekend.
Will do. There he is, Chip Brown. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. You know, we always talk about three big things, top news stories of the day. He's got three big things when it comes to inventory at LCM. What you got, Larry?
Let's start out with a truck. How about a 2013 F-150 four-wheel drive crew cab 3.5 EcoBoost motor, and it's a local one owner trade, and it's under $20,000.
I got my attention.
Then we got a 17 Explorer Sport, which means it's also got every equipment you can put on it. It's also four-wheel drive. It's also a one-owner. Then we just got a 15 Cadillac CTS. It's only got 70,000 miles, and it's a local one-owner. So we got three one-owners right here ready to go, and the financing is great on all of them.
Yeah, and you've told us in the past, too, when people go, well, it's not that big a deal, financing this or that. A percentage means big money over a life of a loan.
Absolutely. It can make a major league difference because, I mean, ultimately, that's if you're financing, that's what it is. The total payback of the payments is what is the total price of the vehicle. So if you can save, you know, 3, 4, or even 2 or 3 percentage points, it saves you hundreds of dollars.
All right. Give us directions to come see y'all.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Checking on some of those vehicles myself, especially one of them. All right, let's text line busy here. Tim says, I understand everybody wants the right to vote, but I don't see how people think it's going to pass. I'll never vote for gambling in any form. Okay, Tim, and that's good. There's people. The argument goes down to the in-betweens, right, Tim? I mean, you're somebody, even in the legislature, let's look at the members of the legislature. There's some that for moral reasons or whatever, they're never going to vote for gaming. And there's some that would vote for it no matter what. You know, if it went to fund Al-Qaeda, they'd still vote for it, right? And then there's people in the middle. That's the interesting part here and how they shift. And I'm not, you hear me, and I guess the messaging I get out of Montgomery is they see me as an opponent of gaming. I'm not. I'm an opponent of a bad deal for the state. It's not about the game. I'm not a gambler, but I have no problem with this, except the way I don't have a problem with the essence of the gaming. I have a problem with what I think is a bad deal, what I think are monopolies. But we have so many. Also, to be fair, you're not dealing with a blank sheet here in Alabama. We have so many layers of old paint on this thing that you have so many entities that, you know, have to wet their beak on this. All right. This one here says, this is all Republicans want to talk about. I mean, maybe that's the, transgender thing. Okay. This is all Republicans want to talk about. Nobody is using gender excuse to gain a competitive advantage. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. She said, if Republicans spend, or Zay said on the text, if Republicans spend as much time on health care and infrastructure as this gender BS, maybe they could have gotten stuff done in the past 4 years. These are the governing party. Ours are just a nuisance. Good. Sounds like you're open-minded and ready to, hear all sides. So good for you. Now, do the Republicans want to talk about this a bunch? Yes, because it's a winner. It's a winner for them. But you can just Google the stories if you want to see about the competitive advantage. It's there. You can say whether that's good or bad, but to say it doesn't exist is not correct. When somebody has had the benefit of testosterone and building muscle mass and bones and then goes and competes against other human beings that didn't because they're female at birth, that's not the spirit of the sports. Why do we even have boys and girls sports then? Why is it all just one? How about that?